Y'all have y'all's thinking caps on tonight? Huh?
I'll fly away.
I'll fly away. What number is it?
35.
35. See, this is a new number. It used to be a different one. Are we done?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to do one time. Then do all this to quit. Some glad morning when this life is over. Wait a minute. Wait. I'm... Okay, we're glad that y'all are here in person and those are online, and we'll prepare ourselves this evening in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer, the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who and what you are. You're a God of grace and mercy and justice and righteousness. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can understand it because of the grace system of perception. We thank you that you will help us through the Holy Spirit to remember what we've learned and to apply it to our circumstances. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start with a PowerPoint. I know that we were taking notes Tuesday night. And I want to say before I begin, I've changed a lot of things. So your notes that you had, well, they're outdated already. And the problem is you start with a blank piece of paper. And you have concepts and you're writing them down. And you get the principles and the concepts all in order. But you haven't been able to refine it or tweak it or anything. And I spent several hours today doing that. And I don't stop doing that until I'm happy with it. Well, I'm happy with it now. And I hope you're going to be happy with it. But we have to be flexible because it's like writing a song or playing an instrument. It has to be in balance. And I think it is now. And this is something that we need to spend the time on because this is new to us. In fact, I've never even seen anybody go to this depth to detail a type of life that is really doesn't have a designation in the Bible, which makes it more difficult, but hopefully it will come together this evening. So here it is. This is how I started last time. Cindy, can you kill this light over my head here, please? We should have put those switches on the other side. Wouldn't have room for other things then. Okay. There are numerous terms that may be used for the two meanings of eternal life. That one right there. The other one, keep that one on because they might be making notes there. No, kill these, leave the rest of them on. There you go. Okay. Y'all can see it better like that, can't you?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So there are a number of terms that may be used for two meanings of the words eternal life that are used in the Bible. So they're used, the same terms are used, but they have different meanings. And we went to the visual that I had online. It's called Dual Meanings of Words. Remember, I had a long list there. I had salvation, had overcome, I had sanctification, righteousness, and inheritance. I had all these words, and they have more than one meaning. Essentially, they have a positional meaning, which how they're used when they are referring to the point of salvation. And that's what God does, all of that, in a point of time. The other is experiential sense. And that's what the words are used after salvation. The first one, at salvation, the other one, after salvation. It is prudent to choose the one that you can relate to the best and stick with it. You don't want to go from one to another and one to another. Now, I know I did that already, but I haven't gotten it to where I want it to be. So, below are two examples. I will be using the terms in yellow. So when I first started getting terms for this, I gave them positional eternal life, and that's eternal life that is acquired at salvation. And the other is experiential eternal life, which is eternal life after salvation. That got me on the road, on the right direction, but I don't like those terms. I mean, they are probably good for those of us who already know what positional and experiential mean, but someone that hasn't seen these before, they'd already be confused to begin with. And experiential eternal is an oxymoron, and that might get some people concerned. So this is what I've changed them to now. Eternal life that's imputed, which is received at salvation, and eternal life that's attained after salvation. The Bible uses the same term, eternal life, but they have different meanings. Just think about the word salvation. Of course, there's several places, especially in the New Testament, where it talks about salvation, which we would call is salvific. It's referring to what happens the moment we believe the gospel. And we have imputed to us eternal life and God's righteousness. They're given to us as a gift. But then there's also the experiential sense of the word salvation. Same word in the English, same word in the Greek. And I think it's 1 Timothy talks about a woman will be saved through childbirth if she continues to be diligent in what she does and so forth. So obviously, that isn't referring to the kind of salvation we get when we believe the gospel, is it? If it was, then no man would be saved. Some women might think that anyway. But it's an example of how these are used. So eternal life that is imputed, receive that salvation. Eternal life that's attained, and it's acquired after salvation. So we're going to put a list here. On the left is what happens at the point of salvation. God takes care of all of that. And we're designating this eternal life that is imputed. Over on the other side, where we have it white, it's eternal life that's attained. I could put acquired, or I could put achieved, but I decided that attained is best at that point. So number one, I put what we had before, so we can designate in our minds that the imputed eternal life is received at salvation, and experiential type of eternal life is acquired after salvation. And the problem that what most people have when they're dealing with this term, and other terms as well, you can go online and go to the visuals banner at the top, and it's in alphabetical order. Go down to dual meanings of words, and I have about 12 of them there. And I have above each one, these are where you find them, some of the verses, when they're salvific, meaning positional. And right under that, I have these are where you can find them when they're in an experiential sense. So, we've got that in there. The left is what God does in total at salvation. The other one, we are involved in that. The only thing that we do that involve ourselves in the receiving the imputation of God's righteousness and eternal life is simply putting our faith alone in Christ alone, and Christ does all that in a split second. He does those two things and about 38 or 39 more. And we learn about them later as we continue to grow. Number two, the one on the left at salvation is received by faith alone. No works involved. Nothing but faith alone. And on the other side over here, this eternal life that's attained is acquired by works produced through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, we can say that we produce the works, but really we don't. It's the Holy Spirit producing good works through us. We don't have the power to do it. The only thing that we have a natural power to do is to produce human good. Now, human good isn't bad. It's not acceptable to God. God is not impressed with what we can come up with. He's impressed with what He does. And so when we trust Him, obey Him, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then after salvation, we can grow and progress and get closer relationship with Him through the power of the Holy Spirit that is producing those good works, those divine good works in us. Am I going too fast? Are y'all staying with me? Okay. Number three. Eternal life imputed is a present reality. You can think of John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. But it's a reality. You have it. You don't have to wait for anything. But on the other side, what's going on after salvation is an ongoing potential. It's an ongoing, at one time I said it's an ongoing acquisition. This special life that we're talking about. This eternal life that can be attained. But I decided that the potential is more important, and something that is ongoing is future. It's not a present reality. And what we're doing in this eternal life that we are attaining is an ongoing, it's a process. Is eternal life given at, imputed as a gift? Is that a process? No, it's bam, in 1 second, in a point of time. But this eternal life that is a higher and a phenomenal type of life that we can attain is an ongoing process. You start out as a baby believer. You really don't have that much doctrine. You might be taking baby steps. But God expects us, indeed He commands us, to exploit the grace that He's given us so that we can live a higher and more elite life which glorifies Him and gives us more blessing. Number four. What happens at salvation is received by all believers. No believer is left out. But now when it comes to growing in grace and knowledge and getting this special life that is available to us is attained by only some believers. Actually, I probably could put attained by few believers. And that's because you can't live this life if you are biblically ignorant. If you haven't got systematic theology and you don't have the spiritual dynamics and assets like faith rest and rebound and all these, then you're not going to live this life. You have to be humble, and you have to grow in that knowledge. And those that do that, and they go all the way to the end, notice it is an ongoing potential, you can start living this life, and you are on top of your game spiritually, you're not worried, and you have thanksgiving in your heart. I mean, all these things. But something could happen. Let's say there's a death in the family, and it just puts you into a tailspin, and you get angry at God, maybe, and you don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, this process has to be ongoing, and that's why I said it's a potential. And it's attained by some believers. Number five, eternal life is imputed at salvation. And number five here, it's achieved after salvation. And I'm going to show you something. Let's see, do I even have my pointer up here anymore? Oh, yeah, it is over here. Let's see if it's working. Yeah. You notice this says received, received, received. That means you don't do anything to gain it. You just receive it. God is giving these things for you. Over here we have acquired, ongoing potential, attained. Here we have achieved. All those words suggest that you are involved in it. You have a part to play in it. So this eternal life that's attained, God made it attainable for us, is achieved after salvation. Number six, this is unmerited. When we receive the eternal life that's imputed, there is no merit on our part whatsoever. And believing in Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ, faith is non-meritorious. There is no merit in the faith. It's the object of faith that always gets the merit. And the object of faith being Jesus Christ, He's the one that gets the merit, but we get the salvation. On our side over here, of course, if it says acquired and produced through the power of the Holy Spirit, these works, that's merited, isn't it? It would be blasphemous to if I put this one over here and this one over here, it would be blasphemous if it was saying that we can work our way through works for God to accept us, and which is blasphemous. And here's the last one. The one on the left is quantitative. Quantitative. Quantitative means it has to do with a quantity of time. Eternal life is a quantity of time, and it can't be measured, but it has to do with quantity. As for over here, it doesn't have to do with quantity, it's qualitative. Qualitative. It's qualitative, meaning it has to do with the quality of life. One is quantitative, one is qualitative. One has to do with the quantity of time that God gives us, it's endless. And the other one has to do with the quality of our life. And there are some people that think they have a high quality of life. Some people measure that by how much money they have, how much talent they have, how much intelligence they have, how much beauty they have. But the quality of life here is one that supersedes all of that, because it's a quality of spiritual life. All those other things will fade away and be forgotten. But our quality of life is such a high quality because we get closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Him spikes. And the mundane and the things that seem to conquer us so easily can disappear. And when you, whatever your area of weakness may be, whatever it is that make you feel like, what is life worth? What is it? The routine gets to you or something. When you have a quality of life that's so high that every day you are trusting in the Lord, and everything you do, you think about, is this pleasing to the Lord? And when you need help, you know He's there.
And when you pray and ask for something and it's in His will, then you can forget it. The burden is on Him, which is where He wants it. I could go on and on about this quality of life. So there you have it. All these things here have to do with what happens at a point of time at salvation. All of these things over here in this column, in the white here, is what God expects us to do after we are saved. And He offers this phenomenal life for us if we want it. If we are willing to be humble, be obedient, and want to work. We do work, but the work that we're producing is through the Holy Spirit. Because there's so many things that are spiritual that God tells us, for instance, are to love our neighbor. We are to love all mankind. Well, there's not a person that draws breath that can do that on their own power. They might be able to do it when they're around somebody they really like for maybe 10 minutes. But we are tainted with the old sin nature. And even if you're doing the right thing, you might have the wrong motive. You might be helping someone, but it's not because you really care that much about them, but you want to look good before other people and before the community. And if you go out of your way to go help somebody, then it's going to make you feel good, it's going to make them feel good, but it's the wrong motivation. The right motivation is, number one, because we are commanded to do it. And another right motivation is to please the Lord. That should be our goal every single day. Okay, do y'all have any questions? The floor is open. And I don't know if I'll not have the answer, but you're bound to have a question on something.
I do.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me get you and hold it close by. It's turned on?
No. Now it is. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Hold it close.
Does this have to do with the rank and the quality of your life in heaven eternally? Or is this just experientially in this life?
It's both. So can you say that again, but say it louder? I don't think they heard you.
Okay, does this have to do with your rank in heaven, your job or whatever, and the quality of your life and existence eternally in heaven, or is it just eternal?
Just for the experiential now.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, she's saying, well, all this, what we're talking about, is this just for applied in eternity, or is it applied just for now? And the answer, it is both. You know how we have studied super grace blessings and super grace life. This is the same thing. It's just looked at it from a different perspective. And if you are a mature believer and you are at a point to where God can release those blessings, they're in escrow. Remember that? Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's verse 3. It talks about escrow blessings. In other words, in eternity past, God knew you intimately. And He made a special package just for you and just for me that is the best that could ever be. But He does not give them to us the moment that we are saved because we're babies. It would be like I have a son and he's 3 days old and I give him a box of cigars and keys to a Corvette. What's he going to do with them? Most of the time what it would do is we would forget about focusing on the Lord and being good and faithful servants, and we would focus on the blessings, which is not what he would do. So only God knows is when we reach a certain point of maturity that he starts releasing these blessings to us in time, in the here and now. And as he does that, we are able to take them into stride. We have great gratitude for them. We might share the blessings we have with others. But one thing that should not happen is we say, okay, God, I've got it now. Thanks for the blessings. I'll see you in eternity. You know, other believers that do that? Yes. That's why you have to endure to the end. And it's the same thing with this. This happens after salvation. And look at point number three. It's an ongoing potential. I call it a potential because just because you start out that way doesn't mean 20 years later you're still going to be on that same vibe, on that same wavelength. So to answer your question, the things that you see on the right, if you attain, in our verse in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about those who persevere in doing good and seek honor, glory, and incorruption. You see the seeking part? Now, you can seek in life anything you want to, but those who do that, it says, essentially, are going to acquire this eternal life, which is the term for this phenomenal blessings. And it's rewardable.
Does this have to do with where your eternal life is? I mean, do different positions in heaven result in, like when somewhere I heard, where only the church age believers are in the New Jerusalem?
Well, let me put it this way. One of the motivating forces for us to make decisions in the here and now is because they're going to affect what we're going to be, where we can go, opportunities that we will have, all that in eternity. I call it a personal sense of eternal destiny. So the things that we do now are going to have a bearing on that. But as we went through this, I showed you that if you start living this life but having a closer relationship, if you are a believer that is going to seek honor, glory, incorruption means you're not going to allow yourself to be taken over by your mental attitude sins. When you do those things, it's the motivation is the payoff. The big payoff is on the other side of this realm. Because the blessings that you accrue from the decisions you make now with the right motivation are going to determine all these things for you in the future. And those things are eternal. And that's what makes it so great. Anybody else? Good questions. I haven't figured out how to get these on the website in this real nice thing, but we'll go to our notes. Everything that you see here is on the notes. So that, but it's not in this format, but it's still pretty much word for word. So let me go there. In fact, here they are. Same thing. So you can go through those. Now, these are huge concepts. And this is put out as simple as I know how to do it. But you have to meditate on it. You just can't look at, oh yeah, that's a chart, I got that, I'm fine, you just walk. No. You got to look at each one and start thinking in your own mind, do you really understand this? Do you perceive it? And then what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a seeker? Are you going to be one of the metakoi, one of the partners of Christ? So I already went through this, so we'll go down here. We had this long thing. I'm not going to go over it again. But we have a few verses down here. This is from Tuesday. I think we'll just look at Matthew 19, verse 29. Now, I have this on the board. But I'm going to be asking people to bring your Bibles, especially Sunday. I'm changing my format a bit in how I'm teaching. I went virtually to a conference, and I was impressed on doing something a little bit different. So it's going to require you to have your Bible with you because I probably won't be using the overhead as much. And you can be making notes in your Bible as you go along. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake shall receive many times much and shall inherit eternal life. Now, what can you tell immediately when you see you shall inherit eternal life? Inherit eternal life is not the same as imputed, is it? In fact, it can't be imputed. So we know this has to go under the eternal life which can be attained, that you can work for. So this indicates that there is an imputed eternal life which is given by God as a gift, an inherited eternal life which is meritorious, a meritorious acquisition. That means it comes through work. But it's not you out there. Now see, this is what some people do. If they hear this and they say, I want that life. I want that. And I'm going to do it. And the next day they go out there and they start hustling. They're going to help their neighbors and they're bringing them food and they don't want it. They give it to them anyway. I mean, they are hustling. What does that count for? Nothing. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in there. You have to know the difference between human good and divine good. Nothing happens. That's why I say a baby believer doesn't have what it takes to get on board with this yet. He's got to learn the fundamentals. Here's one. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption." Boy, is there a lot of people doing that? In fact, I think that's a prerequisite if you're going to get into politics. You've got to be one who sows from the flesh and you reap corruption. It would appear that that would be a standard. So, but, that word is a big changer, isn't it? But the one who sows to the Spirit, he's thinking about spiritual matters, he's thinking about the Lord, he's thinking about doctrine, shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, does that have anything whatsoever to do with imputation of eternal life at salvation? Nothing. And I took this wasn't here, I just put this in here today. Reap eternal life. You see where it says reap? What's in your mind when you think reaping? It's work, isn't it? I mean, I like reaping. I don't like planting. I don't like plowing and putting a seed and a month later you don't even hardly see anything. But reaping is all done and you just go through and you reap it. But it takes effort. So, reap eternal life. There's other ways to say it. In other words, reaping eternal life is another way of saying attaining eternal life. And there's others. Look at them here. So, this reaping eternal life means you're working, you're on board, you're in that direction. So, you have attaining eternal life, acquiring eternal life, that's another way to put it, achieving eternal life. You see, all of these have things that are meritorious on your part. But that meritorious work that you're doing has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, or it's nothing. Then we have inherit eternal life. We just had it in that verse before. Lay hold of eternal life. What does that mean? Can you take hold of an imputed eternal life? No. It's imputed to you in a millisecond. And most people don't even know that it happened. They don't know what imputed eternal life is. Have you ever gone and talked to somebody and they're a Christian, they're a professing Christian, and they've been going to church faithfully for 20 years? And you say, when you die, are you going to heaven? I hope so. Well, didn't you get imputed Don't you know about imputed life? Imputed eternal life? What? Pathetic. So we have inherited eternal life, lay hold of eternal life, and live life indeed. It's your choice. It's my choice. We can live life indeed above what the mediocre norm is. And not only is it going to be fabulous here, it's going to be fabulous of all eternity. More fabulous. So the good works that are required to inherit eternal life are produced only by believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Why is it so important that we understand rebound? We understand how we get our relationship with God after we are in carnality. We call it rebound. Because if you don't rebound, you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit, and anything that you do, even if you have good intentions, is going to be wound up, burned, at the judgment seat of Christ. It's just no good. I want to say it's no damn good, but I won't say that. Oh, I did? Okay. Only divine good produced through us by the Holy Spirit count towards an experiential eternal life, not the human good produced by the old sin nature. Let's skip down here. Now we're going to start on tonight. All that was previewed. God has made available to every believer a superior, elite, sophisticated, advanced, exceptional, wonderful life for believers who put Him first in their life. That should get everybody's attention. You know, I received some sales training one time, and I read this book called, it was from Zig Ziglar, tremendous sales teacher, it's called See You at the Top. And he says, more people are motivated to buy something because they're afraid they're going to be left out than they are trying to get it, just purchase it. But if you say, you better get now because it might not be here. Oh yeah, I want to get it. And the reason I'm saying that is because to me, if what I'm saying here is true, and it is, you think people would just be, can't wait. What do I need to do? How do we get started? So this phenomenal life is referred to as eternal life. We went through the verses. Doesn't have anything to do with what happens at salvation. It happens to do with this after salvation experience that we have in time. So the phenomenal life is referred to as just eternal life. There are verses that say, if you do this, like we saw a while ago, that says you will inherit eternal life. And so we have to be able to tell by the context, is it talking about what God does for us at salvation, or is this what we are expected to do, and this is available to us after salvation? Another term is the super grace life. That connects with y'all, right? You understand that there's more than logistical grace? And another term for it is that which is life indeed. Its acquisition can be described several ways as well. For instance, attaining eternal life. We don't attain eternal life that saves us from the lake of fire, do we? We just believe. That's it. So it's attaining eternal life, and that means it's attainable. Reaping eternal life, acquiring eternal life, achieving eternal life, inheriting eternal life, and laying hold of eternal life. All these terms has to do with how we acquire this life in the time that we have left, what we can do and motivate us to live that life. It's available to every believer. But not many get there. So why doesn't every believer aspire to live this special life? Well, the answer is, number one, that you would suppose, ignorance. You can't be inspired of something you don't even know exists. You don't know what it is. And how many pastors out there are teaching this phenomenal life that is a potential for every believer? But they don't know. They don't even know it exists. Another reason is apathy. What is apathy? Oh, well, you know, it's too much effort. Something's got to be wrong with it. Apathy. And the next one is unbelief. And that's the biggest one. This message is going out to you who are here and to, I don't know how many out there online. I would be very surprised if there were some people saying, that's just that pastor yakking. I don't really believe that. And if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. And you cannot, apart from faith, you cannot please the Lord. You have to believe it is possible. See, that's putting the trust in Him. And you have to also trust that the Holy Spirit has got your back. He's going to empower you to do things that you could never do by yourself. Does that sound like an exciting life? I would say so. But a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid to step out, and sometimes they're just afraid. I don't think God's going to be there. And I want Him to be there, but if He's not, I don't know what I would do, so I just won't do it. That's one reason. And then the last one is not interested. How can somebody not be interested? Those are the ones that I think are the big killers. And that's why so few will even go in that direction. And another reason I could put in here is consistency. You know, there are very few people that are consistent in nearly anything. We're consistent sinners. That's one thing. All of us have that in common. I don't have to go up to you and say, well, how is you doing on your sinning? Are you staying consistent? Shut up, I don't want to hear that. Well, okay. But see, the thing about consistency, if you're trusting the Lord to help you do this, then the Holy Spirit is going to be motivating you and giving you opportunities and all. Living this special life does not mean that there will be no suffering or testing like all believers go through. So don't get the idea that this is Shangri-La, this is Oz, the Wizard of Oz town. You know, I mean, this is. I'm on board for that. Because some people think, well, that means no suffering, no testing, no bad neighbors, and no Democrats. So, it's not like that. There'll be no suffering, it doesn't mean that there will be no suffering or testing like all believers go through, but the power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual assets are used to overcome life's trials and tribulations. See, nobody can guarantee you that there's not going to be sorrow and sadness and trials. That's what life is. But when you can go through those things and rejoice, which is what God says we can do, when we get to that point to where we are living that super grace life, that life of eternal life that we are attaining, when we get to that point, we don't worry. We take our burdens and we put them on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. And then we leave them there. And we look each day as a challenge. And the more that you depend on the Lord and you are trusting in Him, the easier it gets. And the more, here's the thing, the more faithful you will see He is. Don't be afraid of it. It's wonderful. And even on the little things, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for something that's a little thing, and yet the Lord was faithful in coming through, providing for that. And that means maybe I can trust Him with something bigger. Maybe I can actually go to somebody I don't know and give them the gospel. Now, if you haven't done that, that can be a scary thing. The number one thing that people are afraid of when they go to give the gospel to somebody, if they're not used to doing it, is, I'm going to fail. I'm going to mess it up. And they're going to ask me a question I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And when they reject me, I'm going to be so embarrassed I just want to run home and get in bed and get under the covers. Just remember, if they reject, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him. And you are being obedient when you do it. You're an ambassador. We represent Jesus Christ on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we're going to be afraid to go up to somebody and give them the good news? Listen, the Jehovah's Witnesses are out there all over the place spreading all this blather that's bad news. Listen, if you say, you can be saved if you really work hard at it, and if you do enough good works and don't sin too much, then you might be saved. Of course, you have to keep it up. Is that good news? And yet they're all in every neighborhood. I think it could be in Tanzania, in a remote place, or some JW. Go witness. But the power of the Holy Spirit and spiritual assets are used to overcome life's trials and tribulations. And you know what happens when you do that? When you do that with vigor, and you're firm about these things, and you're consistent with these things, it means you're not going to be rattled by the tribulations of this life. And people are going to take note of that. They're going to come to you and say, well, what's your secret? You have some kind of pills? Or what is it? And that's a good thing, because that's another opening for you. Okay. This is the end of Romans chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. This is what I have been on for, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 times. Had no idea I was going to go where I have here. But I could not leave it alone. This was too big for me not to try to sift it out and get some nomenclatures that I would be good with. I think they're usable. And to see that this great opportunity is there for us. So here is the expanded translation means I've has everything in there the way I think it should go. It's not exactly like the one you see in the Bible. It's better. It is. It says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. They have in there, instead of deeds, they says doing. Well, I won't go into it. It doesn't matter, but here it is. Who will render, this is talking about God, will render to every man according to his deeds the good works that he is producing through the filling of the Holy Spirit, being obedient and malleable so that God can use him. To those who by perseverance, there's your consistency, in good work, divine good work, keep on seeking glory and honor and incorruptibility. You're seeking not to be corrupted. And then I have put this in brackets. In order to attain eternal life. Now I think that goes along with the Greek, and it is the easiest way to understand what's going on there. All right. We got 5 minutes. We have enough time to at least look at the next verse. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Now that's as far as it goes. The consequences of that is in verse 9. But we're looking at that. And the first thing, we have that but. That means now we're looking at the opposite side of this coin. And it talks about selfishly ambitious. Now, selfishly ambitious is epitheia in the Greek. That's E-P-I-T-H-E-I-A. It's a noun. It's a genitive singular feminine. And it means selfish ambition, strife, and contentious. You know what all those words mean. You fit that description. Sometimes. And so do I. And don't look like I'm shocked. I'm not, like you're shocked at me. There are times we have selfish ambition and we have strife and we are contentious, that type of thing. But it's not talking about believers who are that way every once in a while, from time to time. This is talking about those who have rejected what God is offering in this attainment of eternal life in time, right now. In fact, selfishly ambitious contrasts directly with seeking of the things of God in the prior verse. So you can be a seeker of honor and glory and incorruption and the attainment of eternal life, that wonderful, high, elite life. But if you're not doing that, then you are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Now, the one thing that I have thought all this time is people say, okay, yeah, verse 6 and 7 are for believers, and Romans 2, 8 through 9 are for unbelievers. And I say, not so. You know that believers can be selfishly ambitious, can they not? Can a believer obey unrighteousness and wrath and indignation instead of the truth? Of course they can. What God is putting out here is for everyone. There is no partiality with Him. And He's not saying, well, if you are a believer, then you're going to do those things in Romans 2, 6, and 7. No, most of them don't. Very few do. So it doesn't have anything to do with your believer or unbeliever. What I see is God is telling everybody, you're going to be held accountable. And if you are selfish, ambitious, don't obey the truth and everything, then you go down here. This is the consequences. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man. That would mean everybody, wouldn't it? Believer and unbeliever. Every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first and also of the Greek. We'll get into that next time. But that's where I'm just giving you a flavor for it's a contrastion, but it's a contrastive conjunction. And it means it's the opposite of what we've just seen. And this would be a good point to end. Any questions before we close? All right. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You knew in eternity past who we are, our limitations, our foibles, our sinfulness, and yet You came up with this phenomenal type of life that is available to every believer. And now we can set our sights on it. We can understand that this is available. And the way we get it is through works. But not works alone, it's all through Your grace. The Holy Spirit is enabling us to do the things that we need to do in order to have this superior life. And the closer we get to You through obedience and humility and doing good works, the more phenomenal it will be now, and surpassing grace blessings for all eternity. We pray that You will impress upon our minds, on our soul, how fantastic this is. It starts with desire and trust in the Lord. We pray that we will all grab a hold of eternal life and not let go. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.